Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On this episode of the No Chill Podcast, we headed out to Vegas to check out one of the top players in the country. One thing you should know about Vegas, if you don't already know, they hoop out there. It's not just the Summer League or Team USA camps. Jaden Hardy is proof that top talent is out in the desert. His unique makeup puts him in a category that blends the attributes of a playmaker and an assassin. This means he can create for himself, teammates, and flat out take over when he needs to. He's also atop the rankings for the class of 2021, and his pedigree is that of success at every step of the way. For Gil, what he sees in Jaden is Supreme Court presence and a cornerstone player. We always are wowed by highlights, but the higher up you go, you want that player that you can build around. And if there's one thing to know, even if you're at the top of the mountain, there's always someone or something to chase. And as Jaden goes, we love to see where that will be in the future. It's the No Chill Podcast, Vegas edition. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you can get every episode as soon as they drop. Also, be sure to subscribe on the No Chill YouTube channel. And don't forget, every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, No Chill with Gilbert Arenas on the Fubo Sports Network. Welcome to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Mike Botticello. Gilbert Arenas is right over there in that crossover shirt. We'll get into that in a second. And right here, we have Jaden Hardy. Gil. So what we did, we've took some heat because we get a lot of shine. It's like Cali kids. Gil says that's where all the talent is. So we had to come out here to Nevada, to Las Vegas. We're at the Las Vegas Basketball Center, right here on the court. With the, drum roll. We're gonna unveil it. Number one player in the country, class of 2021. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We usually, actually, that's like the red carpet. We don't give that much hype.
Drum rolls.
But we had to, Gil, because it was the thing. There's more talent out there. California, you know, there's a lot of attention on that state, rightfully so. But doesn't mean you can't make noise elsewhere.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is yesterday I was talking to Troy Brown. And he was like, yo, I seen young fella, he got it. I was like, serious? I said, I'm interviewing him. He's like, yo, I watched him. He's nice as shit. I was like, okay, I see you. Okay, out there killing them NBA boys already.
Yeah, me and Troy, we cool. We both play for the same club team. He used to play for the Las Vegas Prospects. My freshman year, that's who I played for. So that's how I got close with him. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But you know what the funny thing is? I guess when you're the small fish in the big pond, right? Let's think of it that way. There's the idea that all eyes are on that pond, right? And then if the other space where you're the hungrier one, maybe, let's say. So you go from that hunter role, where you gotta go hunt, and now everybody, the attention turns to you, you're the hunted.
Yeah.
That's a funny thing. I guess that's where you're at now, can we say that?
Yeah. It's always gonna be a target on my back now because people know who I am, but I just stay humble, stay in the gym. I don't mind it, just continue to stay in the gym, work on my craft, try to get better every day. And that's what my brother does. He pushes me. He's at Oregon right now, so shout out to him. He's gonna be playing there this year. So, I mean, we just stay in the gym, and then my pops, he just there for us. He's the one training me, so he just keeps my hair right, make sure I'm doing the right thing, so, yeah.
You know, that's the most important thing, you know, that that supporting cast.
Yeah.
You know, you already have a brother going, you know, going to test the waters first.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you get to learn. Whatever he learns this year, you get to learn it next year. So you get all those tricks a little bit earlier than, you know, everyone else. So that's good.
What I just said though, that funny thing about being hunted, that role, like you want to be the predator. And I guess at any level, you can always be in that space. Let's say you're at the top of the mountain, there's another mountain to climb, something like that. But how do you approach that? If you're going to give Jaden some advice here on that.
Well, unfortunately, I was just always a hunter. I mean, you know, that's...
I disagree. At a certain point, though...
I was always the hunter. I never...
You were hunting. I disagree. You're being too modest for once.
I was always the hunter. I never actually got on the top of the throne to really sit there and say, hey, how's everybody doing? Like, I was always chasing someone.
But you know at certain points, like, especially postseason, right? So, because you're in that repeated matchup in the course of a series, you're the number one guy they're going to key on. Let's shut him down. Force him to give the ball.
Yeah, yes. I mean, so, but that's not the same. That's not the same. You're talking about the number one player in the country. Okay. That means everyone after him is chasing him, hunting him. I was never here. So I'm chasing. I'm trying to hunt.
Whatever is in the water here in Las Vegas, he's drinking the humble Kool-Aid. So we're going to go with that.
I wasn't LeBron. I wasn't Kobe. I'm not the top of the mountain. I'm trying to get there. You know, that's where I was, trying to get there.
But yeah, to always have that chip on your shoulder that, you know, you really sleep with one eye open. You know what I mean? Because as soon as you relax, they catch up to you. Yeah, you're done.
No, you got to always remember, too, when you're at the top, you got to remember everyone's paying attention and everyone has a chance to catch you because you don't see them, but they get to see everything you're doing.
Yeah.
So if you're posting, yeah, I took 400 shots today, number two and three is like, oh, he took 400? I'm going to take 600.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they get to do, you know, being behind. So you got to always be mindful that there's always someone hunting you. Someone's always looking. So every time you step on a court, every time you're playing in a game, practicing, be mindful that someone's watching that's trying to take your spot.
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta set examples to everybody. You know, it's basically at this, when you're on top, it's kill mode everybody. There's no friends now. It's kill mode. Like, I know we teammates today in AAU, but we're going to play against each other in regular season, so it's kill mode.
Your AAU team, let's talk about that for a second. That was a loaded team. So at that point, would that be your role, though? I feel like you're more of a playmaker.
Uh-huh.
So would you say you're the assassin on the team?
I feel like we had a bunch of killers on there, actually. I mean, we had Josh Christopher, who's at Arizona State right now. We had Julian Strother, who's at Gonzaga. And then we had me. So it was basically like a three-headed snake. So, like, you feel me? Like, if you can't, it's not going to be able to stop all three of us. So I feel like all of us had the mindset of, like, we going in, we trying to kill, like, we trying to make noise. And that's what we did. So our first game out, we came out and we broke the EYBL scoring record. First game, so. I mean,
Jesus. You know, that's the problem with like teams that got that kind of talent, because it's hard to really evaluate you individually, because for the most part, you're playing half of your game because you're trying to fit in. You know, it just reminds me of when James Harden was in OKC. So unless you was a real basketball head, you didn't see what he really was, because he was sitting here playmaking, getting everybody involved, making sure the ball got from, you know, Westbrook to KD, from KD to Westbrook, and he just middlemanned everything, you know, got his little points here. So when everyone's like, yo, why are they paying him max? Oh, no, because he's a killer. He just understands what's needed from him at this moment. So when he goes to Houston, He blossoms that fast because no one's seen the value of what he was doing. The value of what he was doing is making sure this person's getting the ball, this person's getting the ball, I score when I need to, but at the end of the day, I can do the same thing too. The other two just ain't capable of sharing right now, so I'm going to be the smart one and make sure we all can work this thing out.
Because I doing some homework, I came up with this concept. It's already out there, but we'll talk about it now. Is the idea that can you be both a playmaker and an assassin?
Yes, that's what he is.
That's just, I was going to introduce you to one.
No, because, you know, just like a Harden was, the playmaking is coming because I also have other assassins on the court. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to let them eat. We can all eat, you know, and that's the best part about an assassin who understands that he has other players with him. You know what I mean? And when they're off the court, I'll turn it on. You know, but right now, I don't need to hunt. I can just, we'll just all do what we all need to do it together.
Because is that your approach? Do you find yourself picking spots more than just trying to dominate?
Yeah, I just feel like every time I step out there, I'm trying to dominate. Like, I feel like when I stop out there, I try to look at it as if like nobody knows me. Like I'm out here, I'm trying to prove myself. So every time I step on the floor, I just feel like I gotta prove myself. So
that's the chip we're talking about. Like you always want to have that way. I don't know if it's prove yourself after a certain point. You just are who you are.
Yeah, I mean, when you...
Then it becomes, because it's funny, there's a cycle. There's like, once you prove yourself, oh, we all appreciate and love you for that. Mm-hmm. And then we want to put, like, the media take, all that stuff comes in and they want to poke you and find flaws. And then you have doubters, and you know, like, you want to silence the doubters.
You know, that's the game. But, you know, just from where you are, you know, just understanding that someone's always going to get better. Someone's always going to get bigger, taller, faster. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you have to always be mindful of that. Like, you know, junior year, senior year, someone might grow another 3 inches. Mm-hmm. You might grow another 3 inches. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you just never know. So you just gotta always keep improving. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Keep adapting. You know, there's, you know, like looking at, you know, NBA players here, looking at college players here, looking at what defense your brother's going through. Like, you gotta always be mindful of everything that's going around so you're always in tune with the game.
And we gave him a shout out already. We'll give your brother another shout out because when you're the younger, you have the benefit of having them come before you see what they're going through and you're like, all right, I can actually make this. I can get all my questions answered from them where they're trying to pioneer it and figure it out for themselves. So what's that dynamic like between you and your brother?
It's real close. Ever since he was in high school, I went to all of his games. So me just being able to see that while I was younger and knowing that I wanted to do that, just being able to travel with him to his tournaments and stuff like that, and then going to his college games and then seeing all of that, just him just passing down what he's learning to me, just is basically like I'm ahead of everybody else because he's already doing it. So he's just passing it down to me. So,
you know, that's the benefit of being the younger brother, because you get to learn it. Whatever he's learning at his age, you're learning at an earlier age.
Yeah.
So you get to soak in all this information that he's soaking in also.
Yeah.
So by the time you hit that same mark, you're 20 times better. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So it's one of those where sometimes it's better to be the second, because you go out there, bring it back, and then I can learn it now.
Yeah,
it's like the Michael Jordan example, right? You take that ass whooping from your older brother at some point. Little brother is gonna be the same size, smarter, a little bigger, maybe faster, whatever. And then you give him that ass whoop. And it wasn't that Michael Jordan's brother was the best player ever, but he made the best player ever out of that.
Yeah.
And then anybody else he faced, the fire was way harder at home. Yeah. So for you, is that benefit? Did you get to the point where you surpassed big brother?
I wouldn't say surpass
him. You can say it now. We already unveiled one thing.
No, I wouldn't say I surpassed him, but we do make each other better. I would say that.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? That right now should be like that push zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you really get to like really test. Like you should start hitting him with like listen, we're gonna do real competition, like blow type of game. And we're gonna do best out of seven.
Mm-hmm.
And really really push so you can really, because you gotta remember, whatever he's learning now, you get to really, like, you remember, he's gonna know the little tricks and trades that you don't know yet. You want him to use them against you.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You want him to get, so you wanna really challenge him. Like, yo, I'm way better than you. To force him, like, wait, what? Now you get to see his real game, his one-on-one game, and you get to really like fine-tune your game against him.
Yeah.
That's what I used to do when I go into the gym. I remember like I'd be at UCLA and they wouldn't allow me to play. Right? It'd be like Paul Pierce, Baron Davis, Skip to my Lou, you know, back then Geronimo, they wouldn't let me play. So I just sit there and just talk trash. I just sit there and talk, oh, you suck, bro. He's in the NBA? It'd be like Paul Pierce. He's in the NBA? Wow. Like, I just, and get them so mad that they put me on the court. They put me on the court just to shut me up. That's all I wanted. I wanted to go against Rafael Austin just to see what it was. Like, he's an NBA player. Like, I want to test my speed against him. I want to, you know, how fast is he? Because I know I'm not going to get that in in high school, but I get to really go for it for the first time. And that was my whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I got on there, I shot the ball the first six times. I mean, they kicked me off the court, but I shot the ball. I wanted to see if I could make shots against an NBA player. That's all I was there for. I didn't want to run with you guys. I just wanted to.
But you had something for him when you got there.
Oh, no. I gave him six buckets, but they called me a ball hog and kicked me off. But it was like, yeah. Y'all see what I got? You
know? But I think when you have that, just even that at home, you know, or a best friend or whatever, you just need that person to push you. And I just thought of the Holiday Boys, because you also have the genetics a little bit, can all be obviously can be different sometimes, but you have the genetics, they're similar, yeah. And you just, like, I know as a sibling what pisses you off. I know what you don't want to hear from me, what I can give you. And then if you have that just mental battle at home, when you get into a place like this, just makes you all the more better.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to get in, Gil, because we got to do this. You gotta give him some wisdom here and push him a little bit, is the importance of staying hungry. Because whatever level you're at, there's always a next level to get to. I don't care, you know, all the way to the top, the Hall of Fame, right? So how would you implant that chip, that psychological chip, to stay hungry and find competition at all points?
Yeah, I remember there's, like, you know, you're the number one player in the country, but not in the world. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, there's, you know what I mean? So, you know, with that being said, you topped the list you were looking at. Now there's another list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You done came into another door. You know, now you want to be the best player in the world. That might take 1 year, that might take 5 years, might take 10 years, but that's the goal. You know, there's another goal. Like, you know, you just can't be local. Local thinking, like, look, I'm the best player in high school basketball. Like, no. There's the best player in college, uh-huh. And then there's the best player in the world. You know what I mean? So that's what keeps you hungry. That's what keeps you in the gym. That's what keeps you, like, waking up at 3 a.m. saying, yo, Dad, let's go to the gym. Because you know there's players out there that you haven't surpassed yet. You know, because you got to remember, when you get to that next level, there's no age group. There ain't no age. Nobody want to hear, yeah, I'm the best 21 years. Man, you better shut all that. Nobody want to hear that of that. You know, when, you know, Luke and LeBron's going at it, there ain't no age. there's no age talk. There's no age is who's the best player in the world. That's all we want to talk about right now. You know what I mean? So that's where, you know, you start really, like, focusing, you know, understanding, like, what's at stake, you know, what the real goal is, mm-hmm. You know, and once you start dialing into what you're trying to be, everything, it goes by faster. You know, you start, I don't even know who that is. You know what I mean? You know, I don't even know who that is. You know, and you start doing that to yourself, and you just start working and chipping away, getting better year by year, month by month, you know, day by day.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's timestamp that. We'll put this in a little time capsule. What's your motivation right now?
My family, just really my family and what this game can do for me. And just not only that, but the people I can meet with by just playing this game. You just build different relationships with different people. So that's really my motivation, just my family and then the stuff this can do for me. So.
And I think this year we've seen that, especially you think about where it goes, you know, down to the, you know, you're not youth level, but younger, you know, younger generation, next wave. You see what athletes are doing now. It's way bigger than sports. They're making political statements, you know, they're out leading, you know, protests and marches, things like that. So then you really start to see, like, the impact that you can have beyond basketball is huge. So with that in mind, what would you want to accomplish beyond basketball?
Just really just putting on for where I've come from, and then the kids that's coming up that look up to me. So really just being a good example for them, and then just really just, yeah.
And this is where it starts.
Who's the best Nevada player ever?
The best Nevada player ever?
Supposed to say you, man. Like, I am.
I was lucky confused.
I am. You better tell them, you know, I am. About to have a whole, this is me right here. I'm Mr. Nevada.
I do feel like I'm the best Nevada player.
I'm Mr. Vegas right now, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny.
If you come to Vegas, you holler at me if you need something.
It's funny. I was trying to think real quick, and I was like, you know what? Actually, the best answer is, like, since we can't think of it, I'm going to put Nevada on the map. And you want to have that rabbit, something that you're always chasing. And I think the coolest thing is when it's imaginary. It's like that boogeyman that gets you out of bed, or you can't sleep because of that. I don't know if you hit that yet, but getting to that point where you're just like, I'm restless, man. I just want to get after it.
Yeah, I hit that point. Like, it's been times like where I've been up, like, man, I could go to the gym like right now, like. But like, yeah, like you said, just I do have those nights like where I'd be up, man, like thinking, like watching highlights, watching film, would just be like, man, I could go to the gym right now and put some work in.
So here's the question. What triggered that?
I don't know. I guess just the love for the game I have for it. Really just me being humble and just, yeah.
Because that's the important thing. Sometimes it's from a loss, right? Because let's say you miss at the buzzer, you miss it. So you're playing that play over and over in your head. It doesn't have to be that. It's just what you said, love of the game. Just, I'm hungry.
Love of basketball, we would hope anything. But, you know, as a hooper, you know, like, even when I watch games or highlights, like, I sometimes when I see, like, real highlights, I just go by them because I already know what's going to happen. Like, oh, yeah, what? I'm about to go to the gym right now. And then knowing I can't do it, but it got me to get in the gym. Now my knees hurt and I got to go ice. I'm like, man, I can't do this no more. You know, but that's what basketball does for hoopers. Like, you sit there, watch a game, and you get antsy. Like, damn, the gym ain't open yet. You know, and that's when you know you love the game. When you can just watch it on TV and then you got to go do something about it. You got to go play. You got to sit there, dribble the ball. You got to go pick the ball up. And, you know, and that's when you know you're starting to get the itch of the real love. You know, and then from there, once you fall in love with it, like fall in love with it, the consumption of just running down the rabbit hole will be the best. Like it, because all you're gonna wanna do is sit in the gym trying to find ways to get better. I remember I used to go to the gym, they'd have the floor up the night before, and I'd just dribble the floor just to find dead spots. Just to find the dead spots to make sure I don't dribble through one of them, you know, during an important time of the game, you know, and I should be sleeping, but I decided that's what I wanna do just to get in the gym, just for no reason. Just, you know, do the, like when people like, when you see like movies, and they'd be on the field by themselves doing this. Yeah. That's real. That was real. I used to go in the gym and just like play like I'm looking in the crowd, like, pointing, like doing this just for no reason. Just, what's up? Yeah. Slapping the fake crowd. And I'm like I'll leave and really like, yo, tomorrow's about to be on.
It was like a kid on Christmas Eve. Man, you're so excited.
Or the first day of school, you know what I mean? It's just that you trying to feel like you about to talk to my friends, but we're gonna do this. You know?
And I think also the mentality of a gym rat, like that's really where that comes in. It's like there's no better place, there's no place you'd rather be. This is your heaven. Yeah. You know, so I think people say basketball court's a canvas, you know, so they can paint or whatever, paint their masterpiece. But for you, like, what do you see basketball as ultimately?
Just, I feel like I see basketball as a gift. I see it as a gift. I feel like God is giving me the gift to be good at it, and I just have to put the work in, really. Just continue to put the work in, continue to get better. Just find different ways to get better, like he said. Just, yeah.
I get, we've been very nice up until this point, and I think that's it. We gotta turn the tables a little bit. What do you think you need to work on? What's your biggest area of improvement?
I always feel like I could improve in everything, really. Just because I'm not perfect in everything. So I feel like I could just continue to get better in every way. I just gotta find different ways to do it, so.
You know, the easiest way, well, it's not easy, because if it was easy, everybody would do it. What you do is you take your game, right? Mm-hmm. Give it to your biggest critics. Give it to you, say, all right, tell me the worst part of my game, right?
Yeah.
And let them give you the list of the worst parts of your game. And then month by month, you clean those up. And before you know it, you became this, without doing it, just cleaning, you gotta remember, you already have what you're good at. Now you're cleaning up everything what you're bad at.
Yep.
Now imagine how powerful you are on that court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So those are the things that, you know, as a hooper, you have to understand criticism sometimes actually makes for a better player. Because the critics, their whole thing is to point out everything that's bad. So you got to sometimes take it in and see what he's saying. Yeah. Like, all right, so I don't do this. All right, well, let me spend 2-3 weeks working on this only. And then now I can add that to my game, add that. So, like, usually, you know, as an NBA player, we'll go into the summer. Like, I'll go into the summer, and I'll pick one thing I'm bad at and work on that the whole summer, like, at least 60% of the summer. Mm-hmm. Just that one thing. And then work on whatever, you know, I was too fine-tuning and, you know, updating. And then, you know, so, like, if you look at Dwayne Wade, 1 year he came back with the bank. Added the bank. Like, you know, it's just, okay, dang, he's really, this is really his new, you know, bank. And then from there, it became the pump fake. Now he got the bank and the pump fake. You know, and you're just adding to the game because, you know, you're never going to lose what you're already great at. Mm-hmm. So you're just, you know, adding to what you didn't do. And that's how we train. We didn't train going to the summer just doing everything and I need to do step backs and I get it. No, we just take one thing. Perfect that one thing, and then add it to our game, and that turns over, you know, a whole nother level that nobody was paying attention to.
You know, the thing about criticism, there's fair and there's unfair criticism. Because if it's fair, you're like, you know, you're right. If I struggle with pulling up, going to my right, fair. Or if they say you can't hit a mid-range, and you're like, all I do is the bank shot, pull-up stuff, is that's unfair. So that would even motivate you more, is like, I'm already good at this, but you're saying I'm not good enough. I'm going to double down on it. Yeah. That's a Vegas term, double down.
Double down, that's a Vegas term, double down. But that's what, like, you know, if you look at, like, you know, the greats, like, you know, Kobe, Jordan, they always had their criticisms right where they can see them. Mm-hmm. So when they woke up, they understood what the goal was. All right, I didn't feel like it today, but I got to remember, I got to shut him up. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's why, like, if you ever heard Kobe, he can recite who said what, where they said it, what time they said it, what page they said it, you know, because that was the motivation for that month, that what's the name. Just like when, you know, LeBron, when you can see he knows everything that's going on, everything that's being said, and he's just writing them down, using them, writing them down. He said, I can't, all right. And, you know, that's why he said, old man, 17, washed up goat. Yeah, all right. All right, I spent $500,000 last year on my body. I'm spending another $1.5 million. We're going to see who's washed up. And that's, you know, that's what motivates. That's what keeps, you know, keeps you going. You know, you have to take that criticism and just say, all right, I'm going to accept it all. And I'm going to let all y'all get me better. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we also can't let this slide. When I asked what do you need to improve and you said everything, that's a good answer.
Everything.
Because actually, you didn't give us anything. And that's what you shouldn't tell us what your weaknesses are. That we can't attack those. That's the thing, I think that's an important thing that maybe even a lost art nowadays, where because of social media, things like that, where guys shouldn't give up all their secrets. Mm-hmm. And what's in their head.
Don't listen to him. You know what I mean? Don't listen. That's average. That's a reporter type talk right there. Nah, you give them everything so they know your blueprint. So now they're studying, now they're making it hard for you to update your blueprint. So when I go on the court, I'm telling you everything. I'm about to step back, about to hit you with this, about to hit you with this. Stop it. So now I know how he stopped me. Write it down. Work on it, improve it. You know what I mean? It's like that Terminator 1, 2, 3. It only improves. So if you don't give out what you're good at or your weaknesses, like, you want to say, yo, I don't go left. I don't go left. I don't need to. Y'all can't stop me going right. Now you force everybody to jump on your right, to push you left, so you can work on your left. That's what I said. It's the long game, man. It's a long game. You just, like, if everyone's pushing you left the whole time, and you develop this whole left game,
they can't stop.
It's over. Now you got the left now, and you got the right. You know, that's the, he wouldn't know that, because...
No. Here's the thing. He just set himself up for this.
He wouldn't know that.
This is where OG Gil, he's older now. We call him OG recently. You forget when you were younger, you wouldn't do that. You weren't going to give that information out, especially to younger.
That's all I did.
You're talking about trash talk. I'm talking about if you're with a younger guy and they want to learn from you, you're not going to help him. You're not going to give him information like that. You have your secrets.
No, No, there's no secret. What is the secret? The secret getting better? You got to remember, if you're a smart defender or smart basketball player, you know everything about me anyway, right?
Yeah.
You know, you know if this person can't go left, if this person favors this, if he don't do step back. You already know that. So it ain't no secret. I'm not going to give you my secret to getting better. But for my game, got to remember, the only way my game improves is if you are challenging it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And like if you really, like, I'm going to play you against the best defender in the world. So now you get to really see the weaknesses in your offense. So you can go back to the drawing board and say, all right, well, I couldn't get my shot off on him. He was doing that and he didn't let me go this way. And you get to really start perfecting those areas. And that's the difference between what makes an all-star from an all-NBA player from an all-world player.
All right, let's take a break to talk about features. Believe it or not, the holidays are almost here. It's been a strange few months, so why not give friends and family that gift that puts a little jingle back in their step? For 20 years, Features has been solely focused on delivering an unsurpassed performance sock. A great pair of socks can be the perfect holiday gift for everyone on your list, and with Features, every pair feels like a custom fit. Now, nowadays, we're a lot more active at home. If you're taking walks or running in your neighborhood or even around the house, you have socks on. And a quality pair of socks makes a huge difference. Since we got Features here for No Chill, we get to test our product as we tell you about it. I've been wearing them at home, and the best part about them, not only do they look cool and they have a unique design, there's the support in your socks. Believe it or not, your socks need support. And a big thing is when your feet feel good, you feel good. You perform better. You're more comfortable, even relaxed. All the stress that's in your feet, it starts there. And if you eliminate it with a comfortable support and foundation, you'll feel better. That's the key to socks for me. And that's what Features does. Features has a ton of styles to choose from no-show to knee-highs, ultralight knit to maximum cushion. And with designs tailored for everyday wear, athletic performance, and extra support. Plus, there's a lifetime guarantee. If you're unsatisfied at any point, get a replacement pair, no questions asked. So here we go. We got something for fans of the No Chill podcast. You can get $10 off your first pair of Features just in time for the holidays for you or a gift for that special someone. Use the promo code NOCHILL at features.com for $10 off your first pair. That's Features, FEETURES.com with the promo code NOCHILL for $10 off your first pair at Features. Your feet will thank you.
Because when you hear things about LeBron, they're starting to hear it now, saying, I called this fake play, and he looked at me and said, that's not one of y'all plays. That's a lie. And he said, he just calls me out on it. And that's the reason, because he's so in tune with every piece. He knows your plays. He knows where you're supposed to be. He knows everything about what's going on. You know, so there's no secret in your game. You want them to challenge all your flaws and all your strengths just so you can improve on them.
All right, Gil, because we are saying we were with the top player in the country, we have the future of the game with us. Mm-hmm. So I got to say the future's in good hands. Mm-hmm. But as you progress, what do you want to see? When you look at the NBA now, specifically, what do you see that you can do different?
Just being me, I guess. Just where I come from, just having that hungriness, just being able to show it. Like, because I know there's a lot of people that can relate to me. Like, I'm from the hood, I guess you could say it, like Detroit. So, I mean, just really, it's a lot of people that can relate to me, and then just working, just continue to work, just trying to have that good support circle. So really just being able to just stand out, just playing me, just being me.
You got a new group of talent that's playing a game the way they see the game. I'm not one of those older players that pretends that my era was the best. You know, it's, like before my era, like defense, and before that era, it's like we're fighting because I fouled you too hard. Like, you know, this, like, there's no, like, evolution makes everything better for the most part. You know, so I can't say something's missing because it's not what was in when I was there. You know, they evolved this game, you know, so they're playing it the way they see the game. in the way the rules allowed them to, you know, to see the game. So, you know, I wouldn't say let's add something to the game, because in reality, it doesn't exist. It doesn't, you know, the past does not exist in this future. So when people say hand checking, you know, they need to bring back tougher defense, and it doesn't exist. Because you got to remember, the defense was great then because the offense wasn't that good then. You know, you had a few players that were great, but for the most part, most of your guards, 90% of your guards wasn't scorers. They were playmakers. So that means they wasn't in attack mode. They were probing, looking for the big man, and then you guys got to play this physical game. Well, evolution, now these guards, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 220, 215, 44-inch verticals. Your hand check does not do anything to them. They eat through that hand check. They meet me at the rim. And you're saying, yo, I'm going to, you know, foul them. Two free throws. Wait, 210, power four? Come on. You know what I mean? So the offense, you got to remember, if it was a 2-1, then the offense now is 100-1. They have 100 more moves to the same concepts of defense. Below the free throw line, pushing baseline, you know, push him to his weak hand, you know, close out. Like those, yeah, there's been 100 new moves created with the same one concept of defense that's been, the blueprint is there. It doesn't evolve. This doesn't change. The offense has changed. So you can't say, oh yeah, they need to play better defense. There's no defense that controls this new offense. It doesn't exist, it doesn't. But that's what people don't pay attention to. Like I don't care what rules you put in, the offense has evolved so far from where defense was and where defense can go. You can't do the defense of, the whatever defense that you were using, mm-hmm. you know, the. You done mastered 20 moves around this. Pushing baseline. You done figured out how to drop step, up and under, spin back, middle, spin. Like, you done figured out 30 moves on that push you baseline, you know, strategy. So there's really.
It's funny, when people think of old school even, they think of that, like, fights. I don't, who watched basketball for the fights? 30, 40
they
years.
Did back then.
I don't think they did. I think they just they no,
I'm just saying
it was
the
cool,
era back
like,
then.
A
remember,
fight
hockey
randomly
was fighting, football, and the whole every that whole genre was just back.
They were just angry people, I guess.
A bunch of angry people playing sports.
But I will say the thing about it is the idea that it's too buddy buddy now. John Wall said that on our episode with him, that it's too buddy buddy. So I think in that sense it's the intensity.
Okay, hold on. Buddy buddy doesn't mean what we assume it is. Buddy buddy because I want to play with this player. That's always happened. That's always happened. Like, but you have a rival that you would never play with. You know what I mean? You have players that you would never play with because those are your rivals, but you have players that complement your game. You know, that's a different. Buddy, buddy, you compliment my game, and I want to team up with you so we can put out the best, you know, the best canvas. We can do the best painting. That is not the same as, you know, that's not buddy, buddy. That's just smart. You know what I mean? Jordan Pippen, that's smart. You know, Jordan going to, you know, playing with someone in Detroit that he didn't like, that wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to play with Isaiah Thomas. You know, so...
But even if you had, let's say, somebody like Josh, somebody that you played with, that, you know, they're a friend, they're close, but when you compete against them, it is a better feeling when you beat them.
Yeah, it is.
Well, that's what I said, but buddy buddy doesn't stop that. We're teammates, but not today.
Yeah.
No? Yeah, and I think that's the myth that people don't understand that. That the point is, when it's game time, we're not friends, actually.
No, you know, I think the misconception is this. The people who say, man, this era is just too friendly, they're too buddy buddy, they work out with each other, those are small city people. Those are small city guys that they didn't have the luxury to come to a city where 20 NBA players were. So they're just practicing and, you know, performing in front of their group. So, you know, if you went to Chicago as an NBA player in the summer, you will realize there's 40 NBA players there. If you went to LA, you will notice all of UCLA, there's all NBA players. If you came to Vegas, you would have known. But, you know, for the people like, oh, they just train with each other. They, like, that, yeah, that's what we've, through history, that's what happened. But, you know, if you live in Mississippi and you came from Mississippi and that's where you go back home, there ain't no other NBA players there. You playing at the rec league. And then you be like, man, they too buddy-buddy over there. Yeah, we've been playing against each other since we were six. You know, it's... Yeah, that was it. We, you know, it was, yeah. Sorry, you didn't have anybody else from Mississippi that you can compete against, you know.
But it gets to that point where, like, these guys only want to play with each other, and it's hard to... It's like a click.
Listen, if you were all-NBA player, you're all-NBA player, you all-NBA player, and we're friends... Of course I want to play and work out with you guys all day. Like, why would I want to work out with number 495? Like, the point is that. What are we going to be working out? What are we going to be? No, I want to work out with, I know, this is elite. This is an elite group. So keep the elite up. Like, I don't see billionaires hanging out with people who make $5, you know, an hour. That ain't going, you know, nah. No, billionaires hang out with billionaires, teach them how to...
I think the coolest thing to do is when it's somebody that's that close with you, you know whatever they say to you, you're gonna remember every bucket they gave you in a game, you're gonna take that home. That's what you're not gonna sleep because you had to go through that during the day. Like, that's what's gonna keep you motivated. That's what's gonna get you out of bed. And I think that's the coolest thing was, like, we can be friends, we can be cool, but everything that you do matters more to me. All right, we can't go without it. It's that time again, Ask Agent Zero. You had some stuff prepared, I know it. So, Janie, what do you have for Gil?
How was it like when you played against Kobe? Like, was it like a challenge or?
Yeah, so with me is, because you grew up watching him, right?
Yeah.
You grew up watching the player, you already, like, you come in as a fan, right?
Yeah.
You come in as a fan. So what ends up happening is, I used to go to the gym about 3 o'clock, you know, when we played, and he was at the gym working out. And I'm watching this guy go through pregame drills like it was a playoff atmosphere, or he was at the park with his friends and they're like, it's, the score is 20. Yeah. And they're going to 21. And, you know, everyone got game point. And that's how hard he was going pregame, you know, and then watching him during game and just watching his mannerism, watching how he interact with everyone, you know, from the opponents, the refs, the players, just. So by the time I got introduced to play, the whole fan was gone because this man is a monster. Mm-hmm. He ain't trying to hear all that, oh, you know, my friend. Yeah. He don't want to hear none of that. He's trying to take my head off.
Yeah.
You know, so from there, it already became competition. Like, yo, I need to come, if I'm on a court and he's there, I gotta come with the A game because he's not gonna respect anything but a performance, you know? And that's what I picked up from him. So when we stepped on the court, the mind game was coming, the antics was coming, understanding if I got 2 fouls, he was gonna say something. Mm-hmm. I foul you on a fast break, he was gonna say that was a dumb foul because you gotta stick me, and if you're gonna stick me, you need all 6 of them, you know? Yeah. And you start like, wait, what? I do need all things. Like, and those are the things that goes on during the game with him. So it's more of a mind challenge, and that's what you gotta be prepared for. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was the most challenging part, was the mind, making sure you, like, he say something, you're right there. You know, you're, yeah. You know, he says, hey, I'm gonna shut him down, and you go hit him, like, oh, he guard 1-4 flat. You know, and you start doing that to let him know, these are chess right here. We're gonna play chess again. But I had to learn that watching what he does. And that, then I can see how he had the advantage over everyone else.
Another thing I was going to ask you was, like, how would you say you prepared yourself for it, like, once you got there? Like, going against, you know, you was going to be going against all those all-stars, and you wanted to be one. So how did you, like, prepare yourself for it?
Look, I'm not even gonna lie to you, bro. I'm not even gonna lie to you. My first game, we playing against Vince Carter. We're playing against Vince. And, you know, I'm in there cocky. Man, he's trash, man. The TV make these players look better than they really are. And he missed like two straight shots. So I'm already trash. I knew he was trash. And then he got mad and then got in the post spin move and cocked it. Oh, boom, right? I jumped out the seat. Oh my God, I'm on the court. Joe, y'all see that? And then I had to realize I was in the NBA. Like, oh, my bad. And I'm on the bench like, yo, did you see that? Man, he done touched his head. I don't, like, it was the best thing I've ever seen. But what ended up happening was reality kicked in because I'm like, he just did that to Jason Richardson. And Jason Richardson, athleticism is, huh. And then it's like, I just seen somebody who go, huh. And I'm here. And I'm like, oh, man, I can't even play in this league, bruh. And I got so depressed just from the dunk, realized like, yo, I'm not, I don't have this type of athleticism. Yeah. So I spent probably the first part of the season just like, I can't do this. Just, I can't do none of that. Yeah. Kobe, I can't even guard him. Ray Allen, I can't even guard him. Like these people, I can't even, and I was doing that to myself. And someone said, yo, why you keep looking at them for what you can't do? Won't you start looking at what they can't do? Yeah. You have speed, you can shoot, you can score. Now look at the game like that. Mm-hmm. Now look at the position you play, can those players stop what you do? So then I had to refocus off the stars and start going to the twos and, oh, he's trash. Oh, yeah, I'll blow by him. And then I started looking at the game different. Mm-hmm. And then I'm, you know, Gary Payton's there, like, he's an all-star. I can give him business. And then John Stockton, and I'm started looking at those stars and those positions and realized, yo, I'm an all-star. Mm-hmm. I just need to get on the court. And my whole perspective changed. My whole perspective changed because I looked at it different.
Yeah.
And then once I got there, I took off, boom, boom. And then when those same two guards that I was afraid of got in front of me, you guys are trash. Yeah. You know what I mean? You guys are trash. You're gonna overjump because you jumped too high, mm-hmm. you know? And I started doing that. And then from there, I just took off. But it's the way you look at the game. You know what I mean? We tend to look at what we can't do because someone else can do it instead of looking at what we can't do, what they can't do.
Yeah. How did confidence, having that confidence, play a role in it?
In the NBA, the confidence is the most, it is the most important thing that's gonna keep you here, mm-hmm. to take you there, or can bring you here. It's your confidence. Like, if you don't believe in yourself, remember, there's 41 road games where, trust me, they don't believe in you.
Yeah.
they don't even want you to be there. They're going to boo you. They're going to do whatever. You know, so you have to have that inner self-confidence that you can't be stopped. Like, you're going to have to, like, it's like the Jedi mind trick. You miss 4 or 5 shots, it ain't you. Rim probably bent. Hey, ref, can you check the rim to make sure that's legal? Play the game. Like, yo, is that 10 feet? Is this... All right, because it ain't got nothing to do with me. No, I take my 300-400 shots, you know, must be the wind in here. Your defense is trash, it ain't you. You start doing that, you got to, you know, play tricks on keeping your mind in the positive form, because you got to remember, missed shots is part of the game. So never get down, because you start off the game 0-10. If you finish 10-10, 10-20, 50%, balling. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You go 0-20 and hit the game winner, 1-20, you're a hero. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, you can't, don't let your mood change. Like, being consistent is having a consistent, you know, emotion. Yeah. Don't get too high on shots, on made shots. Don't get too low on missed shots. Just stay in the middle. Do what you do. This is what I get buckets, this is what I do. I don't need to get all excited because I just gave you 50. That's what I do. Who's next? You know what I mean? And that's really how you have to approach it. You know what I mean? Because you got to remember, you know, for the most part, everyone's lions. So they're trying to find the chink, like, you know, yeah. You know, trying to figure out, like, they come, they step on your shoes just to see how you react to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. They just want to see if you're ready, see if you look down and do all this, and they'll be like, oh, he care about it. Oh, he care about the sneaks too much. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's going to be their whole target. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you know, you, like, if you start doing this with your hand, when they foul you, they're going to hit the wrist. You know what I mean? So it's one of those where when you're on that court, you got to remember it's, I'm the king of the jungle here. What's happening? What's happening? Like I remember some, I went on the court and I remember Brandon Jennings. Mm-hmm. What? He, like, I would have thought, because, you know, he hit 55. Uh-huh. So he hit 55 already. So I'm sitting about a week after. Oh, man. Like, he's tall, old, knees is bad. Oh, I'm gonna shake the hell out of your knee. Like, he's giving me all that. Yeah. Like, I'm starting to rub my knees, like, oh, I don't even want to do this with the young boy today. Like, like, he had me rub my knees, like, pregame. Like, because I'm hearing him, like, seeing him. Yeah. I'm like, damn, I ain't trying to have this shit with the young boy tear my knee up, trying all these little, you know. And it made me so, I was like, you know what, yeah. I'm just going to beat his ass up in the post. And that's all I did. I was so, like, he really, like, came at me to the point where I had to second guess, like, is my knee ready for something like this? Just because he was just talking about it. It's just like, and to him, uh-huh. Made him do it. So now he feels that he's in my head. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's keep everybody out and you get in.
And that whole idea.
You wouldn't know nothing about that.
You're right. I'm not. Basketball. That's what I did, but not at that level. Yeah. You're right. We've established that before. But the funny thing about all this is that you do get starstruck to an extent at that level, but you can't let yourself get starstruck. It's gonna happen, but you gotta get over it real fast.
Listen. Who's your favorite player?
James Harden.
It happens, bro. Yeah. it happens.
But have you played against him yet?
Yeah.
Oh, then
so
you.
I'm
good.
Already.
Oh, you already good yeah, then. Like,
I feel like right now, like I feel like I used to get starstruck, but I don't get starstruck no more because I feel like I'm trying to be better than you.
I'm like,
when I get to play, I'm gonna try to go at you.
Yeah.
Like,
so yeah. That's what I said. He's already got that experience out of the way.
Like. And that's the thing people kind of forget about that is like even. I think it used to be you watch TV, you know, like the national, and they're like, oh, the first game he's playing against. You played against Michael Jordan when you were in high school.
Yeah, see, I didn't get starstruck against Michael Jordan. I got starstruck against Kobe and the Lakers.
No, but you played Michael Jordan at a summer camp.
Yeah, I played Michael Jordan.
That's good for you.
Michael.
Yeah.
So that's what I said. That starstruck didn't. Yeah. That didn't. So when I played against the season, I gave him 41. Well. I played the Lakers in Hawaii, and you got to think they just won a championship. I'm on, so you got Kobe's out there, Shaq's out there, and then like Lisa Leslie and like all the superstars, and you just looking like, oh my God, dude, this is real NBA. And I remember I got in the game, I came off the pick and roll. All Robert Horry did was stick his arm out. It was like, I'm coming off the pink. He didn't hard show. He didn't jump out there. All he did was this, and I freaked out. Oh, it's a trap! and backed up, tripped, balls rolling all the way down there. And I'm sitting here so embarrassed, like, oh my God, that is so embarrassing. Like, please take me out, coach. Like, I am not ready for this. This is, I got, like, the Lakers is on my wall, bro. This is not the team I want to play first. I got Kobe in my room, Shaq in my room. I got the whole Laker. Like, yeah. I was just celebrating 2 months ago. Now I'm playing against him, so that's why I said it. Because I watched Robert Horry jump out on people, I just assumed that's what he was doing, and it freaked me out. Like, I literally came off and just freaked out and just did that. They went down, made the layup, and I'm just laying there like, yeah, someone else can bring that up. I don't even want to touch the basketball.
So what's the lesson there? Don't let yourself get got.
Like I said, it happened. I got starstruck.
It happens. I mean, people just kind of don't give it a thought, you know, for that. Yeah.
Now you get that level where you get to play against these guys and really absorb it and get hit first with it.
And also, you know, to get to that level, I was never there, like you just said. You earned that. So that puts you in that category, you know, rather than if you're ready for it or not, mentally like, oh, I didn't even think I've arrived in this way. You arrived, you know, just by being in that, you know, kind of in that form as one of the gladiators, you know. So we can get out on this because we're here in Vegas. There's a lot that happens. I feel like just basketball comes through Vegas, but it's becoming more and more of a basketball town. It doesn't have an NBA team, but you have Summer League out here. You have, you know, Team USA out here. And so for where you are now, I mean, you're part of that. So let's just say that's what you came up, you know, I think experiencing too, am I right? That's what's going on here. Uh-huh. So tell people more about Vegas and the basketball that's played out here.
Well, it's really like, it's almost like a basketball city, like you almost said. It's more like starting to come to like a basketball city. There's lots of talent out here too. I don't think people get to see that though, but there's a lot of players that can hoop here. So yeah, it's good.
I think it was, you know, Vegas was hard because Vegas didn't have a pro team.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to relate to it, but you know, anytime you came to Vegas, like in AAU, the Vegas team was always like that. It was the Nevada, the Reno. It was always like, ooh, okay, they got some killers over there. You know what I mean? But you know, you only got to see it during like, you know, the Bigfoot Challenge and all that. You know, You know, so you didn't really get to see the Vegas talent until you got here, and then you realized, all right.
Yeah.
It's funny. I mean, you're here for a reason.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna wrap up here, but we're not done. We gotta watch you work out. You know, that's the other thing. We don't really do this so this is a treat because we're here in the environment out here in Vegas. Came out here for that reason. So it'll be, you know, it'll be cool for just to get that front row seat. This was great.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Yep, thanks for having me.
More to see.
And already strong.
And we made forget what it is like. We made the announcement here today too. You know, number one in the country.
Number one.
You heard it here first. On No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. For Gilbert Arenas, for Jaden Hardy, I'm Mike Botticello. Remember, you can catch us every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Fubo Sports Network, and we'll see you next time.